Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is our bargain website. We also have the Clark Deals daily newsletter. Keep you up on deals that we find night and day. Coming up later, there's some really important deals for you to know about in buying a vehicle. Vehicle sales are slowing down. I want to tell you where the real money-saving opportunities are. So, do you know that a lot of people work at places where all you really have available to you are vending machines? Here at the studio, that's all we have. We used to have a lunchroom with, you know, fresh food, cafeteria line, but in budget cutbacks, that went away, and now we just have the vending machines. But these are not vending machines like you think of. These are vending machines that are for the modern era. They are not things that are behind a wall or anything. Things are out in the open. And you walk in and you're on digital camera everywhere. They have scans of my face, and you pay with your fingerprint if you want to. You can register your fingerprint and a credit card, and you just pay that way. Or you can pay each time you go. And if you shoplift, well, do they have a great image of you for the courts? They got you. So the biggest thing about these vending machines is basically it's a vending room, is that maybe half the options available are fresh items or healthy items. Completely different than what you think of historically as a vending machine. In that normally it would be high salt, high fat, high sugar, snacks of all kinds that usually have lists of chemicals, if you actually look at the list, that are quite long. But this is a trend around the country, having healthier choices in vending machines. In fact, the industry, the vending machine industry, has an agreement among its members to self-regulate and have one out of three items available in 2020 in a vending area or a vending machine be healthy. Now, not every vending machine company is a member of the National Association, but that is clearly the trend. But the funny thing, a lot of it is being driven by consumers. When I go there, I get a banana, which bananas are considered to be somewhat healthy, right? How healthy? A lot healthy? I don't know. Anyway, I get a banana. Sometimes I get an apple. Occasionally, I'll get some kind of power bar. I don't know how healthy those are. Maybe somewhat, maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, I never, ever get a candy bar, chips, anything like that. And so part of this is from you and me as consumers, and part of it is an industry being terrified of regulation or prohibition because they've seen the handwriting on the wall with what's happened with other industries, namely the soft drink industry, being looked at as a pariah around the world. And with more and more restrictions, taxes or prohibitions coming on soft drinks. And the vending machine operators don't want to end up in a situation like that. And that's one of the big motivations making healthier choices available to you. Wing C is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, Clark. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. And you're looking for trying to get a better deal on your car insurance. Is that right?
I am. I'm shopping around for the first time ever. I've been with one company for 24 years. So I thought it was about time since you talked so much about auto
You
insurance.
Are one loyal person, aren't you?
I am.
Wow.
I don't know that I'm being rewarded financially for that, but
Well, you know, that depends on the insurer. Some insurers, you may have heard me explain, use a loyalty index scoring system. And if you come up with a high loyalty index score, they raise your premiums because they know you're less likely to leave, even if they raise prices on you. If you have a low loyalty index score, then they're more likely to not raise your premiums.
Okay.
That must if you've be been happening. With one 24 years, you probably have a high loyalty index score overall. You're probably someone who tends to be very loyal to individuals and organizations.
Right. And so I have looked around and I've found a couple of quotes. They're actually a lot less expensive, at least $1,000 less per year than my current plan.
Wow.
Yeah, that does include home. And the policies that I'm looking at, they seem similar in coverage and in price to each other, but one of them says that they'll use an agreed value for our vehicles in case of total loss. And that's the first time I've heard of it. The broker that's giving us the quote said it would be a good choice since our cars have a little bit more mileage on them. One of them has about 12,000 miles a year and the other one 19,000 miles a year. And, you know, most of the things are equal. This is the main difference. So I wanted to get your thoughts on it, whether it definitely was a strong perk and something I should really consider going with.
Well, the big thing at time of a claim is really the culture of the insurer you're with more than the wording in a contract. And, you know, the adjuster who is adjusting your claim has, depending on the insurer, a culture of that insurer that tries to pay you as little money as possible on a totaled vehicle versus one that really works to be as fair as possible to you. In this case, they're saying that they're not going to impose a number on you. It's going to be a one you mutually agree to.
Yes, and he gave me the agreed values for our vehicles that would be, you know, effective for the policy. And he said it can change, but then again, we would know that it would change when we do renewal. And I just haven't heard of it.
I've not heard of that exact wording either.
Okay.
But if you're going to save $1,000 a year, the question I would have, how many accidents have you had in the last 10 years?
Zero.
Okay. So you're a driver who is someone who avoids entanglements, typically. So saving the $1,000 a year would be a really great idea, wouldn't it?
Yes, definitely.
And no matter what, I'm telling you, no matter what the wording is in the contract, what will matter is how they actually behave.
Okay.
If you're in an accident, if they do misbehave, you call me and we'll talk through how to get them to behave.
Okay.
But I want you to have another 10 years accident free.
Right. Thank you. And I'll tell you that part of my holdup is the two quotes I have. One that's using typical actual cash value is a company that you've named over and over again on your show and praised. And it's the other one, which I'm not as familiar with, that's offering agreed value. So I was trying to understand how much of perk that is to, you know, kind of weigh the decision there.
Well, if you got a really solid quote from a really great company, one that has phenomenal customer service and great claims history, and it is a great quote and still is going to save you a lot of money, I would go with a company that has proven over the years to have a great reputation.
Right, I hear you. You're saying the culture is important.
I am so into that it doesn't matter what people say, it's what they do. And in insurance in particular, there are certain companies that year after year have proven to be the best. And that's why if they're offering a good deal too, that's quite a win for you. Paul is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Paul, so how can I serve you?
I have I'm 47 years old, and I know that, you know, I need to do something for retirement, and I'm looking for financial advice, but I have a hard time trusting financial advisors I know or know of, say. It just doesn't seem like they would always have my best interest in mind. And so I'm curious if there's a good way to go about picking somebody you trust, or, you know, how do we find that out?
Well, let's first see if you need someone yet.
Okay.
What have you been doing to this point to save for retirement?
My wife and I both have a 401k with our jobs. I have universal life insurance, And other than that, that's about it.
All right. Well, one thing.
We do own our home. We have a mortgage on our home, but that's, you know.
Well, one thing that I would say would be a priority for you to do now and stick with till the moment you retire is, if you can afford it, in addition to the 401k, I want you doing a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And you don't need a professional to pay anybody to tell you what I just told you.
Okay.
You know, you just go open a Roth IRA with one of the low-cost, commission-free companies. And I've got a list of them on Clark.com on my investment guide.
Okay.
And if you want to keep it the simplest, just go to one of them and open a target retirement fund for the year you intend to retire. Are you thinking of retiring somewhere like around age 65? Is that what you're thinking?
Probably, yes.
All right. So that would put you like in a target retirement fund 2035.
Okay.
And so you just put the $6,000 a year each, or as much as you can up to that amount in there. And then once each of you turn 50, you can increase that. You're over 50, $7,000.
Okay.
Because you're at the point in your life and your career where it's really about the accumulation phase. If you're participating in the 401k, and is there an employer match either of you have?
Yes. Yes. It's I'm doing the maximum, and it's 5%, and they contribute 3%.
So you're putting in 5%, or you're
Correct.
Putting in beyond that?
I am putting in 5, and then right, and then the employer matches 3.
All right, so 5% is not going to be enough to create comfort in retirement.
Right.
So I magnify the emphasis on you doing the Roth IRA.
Okay.
And the advantage of that is at the 401k you have with your employer, that is a pre-tax pile of money.
Yes.
If you simultaneously build up a post-tax pile of money in a Roth IRA, that would be a great combination.
Okay.
The time in your life when you'll need a financial planner is not to pick investments for you, but much more to look at your overall picture, have clear goals you're trying to achieve, like we want to do blah, blah, blah by the time we're this age. And that's where that individual can really help. And if you go with a fee-only person that you pay him or her strictly for his or her advice, you don't have to worry about somebody who's going to put you in junk because they're just trying to cheat you.
I see.
And I kind of gasped a little bit when you told me you had a universal life policy. Those are usually trash.
Okay.
And they're very expensive trash.
Okay.
So I'd like for you to use a service called evaluatelifeinsurance.org. I'll repeat that for other people, evaluatelifeinsurance.org. And you'll have to pay $100 or so to have an analysis run of that policy to see if you should keep it or not, or use any form of conversion privilege that's in it. Because those things are generally really, really lousy, rotten things.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Jason joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Jason. How you doing?
Hey, Clark. How's it going?
Great. Thank you. Jason, you want to talk about saving money?
Yeah, always a good topic.
What are you thinking?
Well, I wanted to let you know that last year around this time, I printed out 6 copies of the $5,000 challenge, and 4 of the 6 people that I gave them to, including myself, did them in completion.
So no way, no way. And you found that on Pinterest, or where'd you find it? Did you find it on Clark.com, or where'd you go?
I got it off your website. Yep.
So the $5,000 challenge, it has been a talking point over the last few years because it's a way of jumpstarting people getting in the habit of saving money. And there are any of a number of different formulas that people can use based on their own lifestyle. What works to get you to 5,000? What got you to 5,000? What technique did you use?
Well, the one off your website, it gives you a specific dollar amount to save every week. And after the 52 weeks, the total is 5,000. It starts in smaller increments and goes up, you know, every week. And at the end of the year, you're at a total of 5,000.
Right. So we have that one. We also have another one where the totals vary week by week. And a number of different formulas we have on getting to that $5,000 with the one-year challenge. And so this was so popular this past January, and you were the first person I've heard from who actually made it happen. And I want to ask you that again. You said 4 of the 5 people you presented this idea to made it happen?
Well, there's 6 people in our office. I printed out 6 copies and distributed them to all of us. And 4 of the 6, which I'm one of the 4, completed it in full. Yep.
2/3. You realize you work with some amazing people because with any kind of challenge, like one around a New Year's resolution or whatever, the fail rate, whether it's about health or fitness or money or whatever, the fail rate is really, really high. The success rate, extremely low, whichever way you'd want to look at that. And in your office, 2 out of 3 people made it work.
Yep, that's 20,000 total. And for myself, I took it a step further, and each week I invested the dollar amount into Acorns. So technically, that's over 5,200 for the year.
Jason, that's fantastic. So I'm going to talk about the $5,000 challenge right after the first of the year. But you've given people a sneak a peek. You can find it right now on Clark.com. It's great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. If you have a question for me, go to Clark.com/ask, and you can post a question for me. If you want me to answer it directly, there's a box you can check. Otherwise, we offer free off-the-air advice. And by the way, next week, we'll be on vacation with off-air advice for the Christmas, New Year's holiday period. But right now, we got that available for you. And so you can post a question at Clark.com/ask or see other ways that you can get an answer to your questions. So it was funny, there was an article in all places, a Barron's magazine, about how difficult it is for Uber and Lyft drivers to make money unless they do one particular thing. And that's to buy a used vehicle that gets very high fuel economy. Not sure why Barron's, which is all for the finance trade, and there's basically very few people who would read Barron's who would be working in the gig economy, but this was a really thought-out article about the difficulty for a Lyft or Uber driver to make money because of the cost of fuel or the cost of owning a vehicle per mile. But then they figured out, as an example, that if an Uber or Lyft driver had a 4-year-old Toyota Prius that averages 50 miles per gallon, that can be purchased at a really good price, somewhere around $13,000-$14,000, that it was possible for an Uber or Lyft driver to make a decent living, that the cost of the wheels themselves and the fuel for those wheels was core and key to being profitable behind the wheel of that vehicle. And I think about when people call me that are salespeople and they're trying to figure out the whole allowance thing that they're given by their employer. And I talk about the importance of getting a 3 or 4 year old vehicle to make that allowance really work for them. And there's an added thing now called the Tesla effect. If you're not aware of this term, what the Tesla effect has been is that Tesla has been so popular with people who are drivers of luxury vehicles that it has devastated the resale value of used European and German luxury and near luxury vehicles. So today, a 3-year-old European luxury vehicle, you may be able to buy somewhere in the mid-teens. So you can buy one at the same price used that you might pay right now for a 3-year-old Toyota Camry or Honda Accord. There's never been a situation like this in the vehicle market. You add the slowdown in vehicle sales as well. Used vehicles are a really good deal now. On the other hand, if you like a 1 or 2 year old vehicle, an oddity of the marketplace is that the vehicles piling up on dealer lots, new vehicles, may mean that you can buy a brand new one at a roughly equivalent price to what you'd pay for a 1 or 2 year old vehicle. So a lot of distortions in the vehicle market right now. Use them to your advantage and your wallet's advantage. Renee is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great, thank you. You got a question for me about getting money from people. Tell me.
Okay, I'm interested in point of sale, accepting credit card from my iPhone in person, say like through Marketplace, if I sell something through Marketplace, or if I have a yard sale, something like that. And people don't carry cash a lot anymore, so I wanted to be able to accept their debit card or credit card through my iPhone.
So easy now. If card is present, it's really easy.
Okay.
So in the transactions you're talking about, they would hand you their card, you would run it, and then you'd hand them back the card, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so and that's called card present in the industry. Mm-hmm. So you can do either Square or PayPal. Both really dominate that business.
Okay.
And
great.
Have you ever done that where somebody has the little attachment to an iPhone or Android and you just run the card?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so you would be doing the same thing as the merchant as you've done on the other end of it. As the customer, the system from PayPal called the PayPal Reader, or the Square system is called Square Up.
And do you have to have the actual device with PayPal, or do they have a wireless? Do you know?
Yeah, they each have a device that reads the card.
Okay.
And it attaches to the phone, and then you're able to run the charges.
Okay, that sounds great.
And because the card's present, even if somebody presents a stolen card, you will normally be protected from any possibility of having a chargeback for someone saying, hey, that wasn't my card. I mean, you know, my card wasn't used there. Does that help?
Oh, yes. That's exactly what I needed.
All right. Well, you have a great day and good luck with your business.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. Adam joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for having me on and to address my question. I love the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. How can I serve you, Adam?
So I have 2 daughters, ages 9 and 11.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And they've managed to save up some money by way of doing chores and holding on to money from birthdays and holidays. And we were just looking at different options of how they might be able to put that to use. For instance, putting it into a savings account versus 529 or maybe some other kind of investment option.
Wow. Okay, so good for you that you have taught such good values about money to your 9-year-old and 11-year-old? How much money do each of them have we're talking about?
We're probably talking to between $100 and $200 at this point each.
Okay, and in your family culture, they're going to college, I gather, since you mentioned 529?
Yes, and we do have 529s for both of them.
Okay, so the best thing to do if with money that they have saved is to either, because they have enough money to do it, either open an investment account for each of them, which they could do at Charles Schwab,
mm-hmm.
and they could start investing and use that as a tangible way that you start to teach them about ownership and owning pieces of companies. And because custodial accounts require a much smaller minimum, only $100, where an adult opening one, you have to have more money. So they have enough, they could each do that. And that is a teaching vehicle more than anything else.
Versus the 529, where it could come into play much later, but...
Well, the 529, you know, gets a little fuzzy because you would want to have it in your name with them as the beneficiary, the way it's treated tax-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Not tax-wise, the way it's treated for qualifying for financial aid in college. But the kids lose. I'm thinking of two different things. So it's like I got on one shoulder, I'm thinking paying for college. On the other, I'm thinking about how do you reward these kids for saving money instead of spending it and use it as a way to advance teaching them about money and investing.
Right. And technically now the returns on something like that would be better than what savings accounts are offering.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I think really think through, is it the practical thing that you want to just continue to sock money away for their college? Or do you want to add a little more complexity, but offer the real teaching experience of having them have their own Schwab investment account and learning how to invest and how investing works? And so either is absolutely fine. It just is, which goal are you trying to reach most? And you just make that call yourself. But I love Schwab as a way to teach kids. Dawn is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Clark.
Dawn, understand you are really good at saving money. Like you could teach me a thing or two even right now.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I bet you can. What'd you do?
Made a little deal with my niece to as an incentive for her to save money. I started off with a $2 bill and told her the next time I visited her, if she still had that $2 bill, I'd match it. So I've been continuing to match that money she's been saving for about my last 9 months. And I had to finally tell her I had to set a maximum, and she's going to reach that maximum. So we've been... I've told her she had to track all the serial numbers for all the bills, or I wouldn't match the next time I saw her. So she's been doing very well.
So this is novel. Are you every time giving her a $2 bill, or are
No.
you matching it with $2?
I gave her $2, and the next time I saw her, I gave her two more, which gave her four. So then the next time I saw her, she had four. I gave her four more.
Oh, which after a while, you would be broke at doubling every time.
You're correct. That's why I had to set a maximum of $1,000.
No way, no way. How much does she have right now?
About 480.
So how old is your niece that she is so good at not spending that she's making you poor?
She's 14.
And at 14, has the discipline to... keep a hold of every single dollar you've given her.
I didn't believe it myself.
That is really great. I, you know, where I thought you were going with it is that you were giving her a $2 bill each time.
No, it started with a $2 bill.
Okay. All right. But the idea is that she holds on the money double, holds on double. This is great. So
yeah.
She's going to end up with $1,000.
Yeah, the next trip back to visit her, I give her another 480. It puts her around 960. So
is your 14-year-old niece working at all? Is she doing yard work or babysitting? Or
no.
All right. So this is the thing. When she's likely at 15 or 16, she'll start working.
I hope so.
So the money that you've given her, if she keeps holding on to that, what will ultimately be right around $1,000, she will be able, when she starts working, to take that money and put it in a Roth IRA. And then it'll grow tax-free the rest of her life.
Okay.
Then you will have given her a lifelong gift with your incredible generosity as an aunt.
Now, there is an option for her to invest it in some way, right? Take that $1,000, invest it right now just to earn some gains possibly off of it?
Well, see, that's the idea I'm talking about with the Roth. What I'm excited about is that, like, for now, if she were to put it in savings and then as soon as she starts working, that's when she can put it into investments in a Roth IRA, which has this unique thing that if she, let's say, at 15 or 16 is working, and then she can look at a lifetime of that $1,000 growing tax-free.
Got it.
That will be enormous money for her well down the road.
Okay. I thought there was a possibility she could go ahead and invest right now.
She could. She absolutely could with $1,000. Any of my low-cost financial houses will allow her to open an account, but money put into a regular account would affect her eligibility for financial aid if she's planning to go to college, and the money would be subject to tax, where it would not be if she holds it in a savings account, a parking space, till she does get gainful employment, whatever that gainful employment would be, and then she's able to put it in the Roth, won't affect her college, and would allow the money to grow tax-free for 50 years, which is great. I love that challenge. Jonathan's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Jonathan. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great. Thank you. How can I be of service to you, Jonathan?
Well, okay. I'm 20 years old. I've recently moved back into the United States. I lived in South America for 8 months.
Really? Where in South America were you living?
Cali, Colombia.
Really? Did you have a good time in Colombia?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. My stepmom's from there, so I got to visit them. It was wonderful.
How good's your Spanish?
Terrible for someone who was there that long. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Sorry.
It's all right. No big deal. But I'm just wondering about ways I could save for my future. I don't want to be down the road, you know, and not have any retirement saved up. So I just was wondering, is anything I can start doing now?
Yeah. So are you in school or are you working?
Well, I've been out of school a year. I'm planning on going back to school. I'm a pre-med major. So I guess, yes, I'm going to be going to school.
Because in any year you have earned income, it's really easy for you to save money for the long haul. And thinking about this at 20 is great. Because money, a dollar you put aside at age 20 is so much more powerful than a dollar put aside at age 28, 32, 40. Because the way money grows over time invested, time is the most important ally you have.
Okay.
So when you have a job, you got money from a job, you can put up to $6,000 a year.
All right.
And put it into a tax-free account known as a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And that's where your effort should be.
Okay.
Like how much money?
I can find all that on your website, right?
Yeah. How much money will you have earned this year?
I'm going to say like probably $40,000.
You've earned this year?
Yeah.
Well, then if you've got it, you can easily hit that max.
Okay.
You do that.
Can I put all that in one lump sum?
You sure can.
All right. That's
every year you can put in up to what you've earned in a year, but no more than $6,000. And so putting that kind of money in at age 20 will pay off in such a massive way, because you figure even if investments do just okay over the next 40 years, your money should double roughly every 10.
So could I wait till the first of the year and then one day put in the lump sum and then the next day put in another lump sum for the year?
No, you got to put in money before this year's out.
Okay.
And then January 2, you can put in another amount for next year, as long as you think you'll out-earn to $6,000.
All right, that'll work. I appreciate you. Thank you.
And by the way, at Clark.com on my investment guide,
yeah.
Jonathan, I've got for you the companies that are my favorites for you to open one of these Roths,
okay.
And even what type of account you should put it in.
All right, thank you.
Sure, you take care. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.